Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you would make us as obedient children who readily hear your call upon our lives and respond and follow through and live our lives as a living sacrifice unto you and for your glory. We pray now that your word would instruct us and teach us in the ways that we should go. We pray that you would give to us open ears, open hearts, to receive all that you have for us today. So come, Holy Spirit, and minister to us through your word. We trust in you, and we seek your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to be today in our reading from Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. So I do invite you to open up your Bibles with me as we look at this wonderful and glorious and far too filled with wonderful things to preach in one sermon passage. But as we come to this glorious passage, one of the main things that I think Paul is communicating, the Lord is communicating to us, is that the life of Jesus Christ is for us. The life and the death and the resurrection and the glorification of Jesus Christ is for us and for our salvation, and is to be lived out among us. The call is for us as a church, as a community, to be formed by the life of Jesus. Because it's true throughout Scripture, we read that Jesus doesn't just shape our individual lives, he shapes our communal life. Jesus gets to set the terms for how we relate as a community. And it's reflecting him, it's honoring him, how we relate to one another. So the Philippian church is Paul's writing from prison, and writing to encourage this Philippian church in the joy of the Lord. They were experiencing hostility from both outside and inside the church. They were experiencing persecution, pressure from the world, hostility toward the gospel, being called names, some of them losing their jobs, looked down upon. Our world's moving in a very similar direction. Maybe not quite yet. But the Philippian church was experiencing hostility from the outside. And at the same time, there was hostility inside the church. There was infighting. There was factions jockeying for their own priorities, their own purposes, creating enmity with one another. And one of Paul's main points in this letter is that if you're going to stand against the world, if you're going to stand firm in the truth of the gospel, not folding under the pressures of the world, not compromising the values and the truth of the gospel to appease the world, if you're going to stand firm, you have to be united. You have to be of one mind, of one heart, and you have to be like Jesus. This is the point of verses 1 through 4, where he calls for unity in the church. That our community should look like Jesus in order to be united. To be united, we have the character of Jesus. We have the love of Jesus. We have his truth, his grace. That's the foundation of our community. That's characteristics of our community. He starts off by saying, if you've had any benefits from your life of faith, then seek unity. If there's been any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from his love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, expecting that, yes, all of us have experienced this. All of us have received this. He says, okay, if then, be of one mind. Be of one heart. Being of full accord and of one mind, having the same love. Seek unity. Work for the unity of Christ, then by the means of the character of Christ. Seek the unity of Christ by means of the character of Christ. Because it's the Lord Jesus who is the one who constantly thought of others ahead of himself. He was the one who'd never had any selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility he counted others as more significant than himself. He did not always look to his own interests, but to the interests of others. He is the one who had all authority and yet became a servant, washing the feet of his disciples, lifting them up, putting their needs ahead of his own. Most fully we see this on the cross. Jesus laid down his life to lift us up. So Paul says, have this mind among yourselves. This mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, the grace of Christ that's extended to one another in the church. Have this mind which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's this mind that we are to have among ourselves as a church. This life of Christ that is for us, we know it ends in glory and exaltation, but it gets there through humility. It gets there through dying to himself. This is the call for our Christian life together. We know we're going to experience the glory of Jesus on the other side of life. But for now, we are to be like Jesus toward one another in humility. In his humility. And the life of Jesus, we gotta zero in on this. The life of Jesus is one of downward mobility, right? We're a society that likes to think of upward mobility. How can I advance myself? When Jesus was constantly thinking, how can I take myself lower? He did not consider that equality with God, the equality that he shared with God from the beginning, before all creation, this wasn't something that he had to grasp onto and never let go of. This idea of grasping onto is so core to our fallen human nature. We want to grasp onto our control. We want to grasp onto success or status or our reputations, how other people perceive us. We got to grasp onto it. Never let it go. There's a story about the legendary businessman Lee Iacocca, founder of Chrysler Motors, legendary businessman in the auto world for decades, universally admired and looked up to. There's a story about a time when he went into a bar and some guy recognized him, came up to him, said, "Oh, Mr. Iacocca, so good to meet you. And my name's Joe, big fan." And said, "Hey, can you do me a favor? I'm here to meet with some potential business partners, trying to land what's the biggest deal of my career. If you would, in like 15, 20 minutes, come over to our table and greet me by name. My name's Joe. Greet me by name." That would go a long way to making me look really good. And so Lee Iacocca says, "Sure, why not?" So 15, 20 minutes later, he walks over and says, "Hey, Joe, how you doing? So good to see you. It's been a long time." And Joe says, "Not now, Lee. We're in the middle of something really important." We want to build ourselves up. We want to make ourselves look good in front of others. How often are we thinking about, what are other people going to think about me? How are people going to perceive this? What's this going to do to their thoughts about me? Grasping at that idea, grasping at reputation, grasping at status, grasping at control, influence. We do this even in our relationships, even in the church, even in our homes. You know, there's nothing that has pointed out to me more what a sinner I am than parenting. And how often, just this morning, when things aren't going my way, when kids aren't responding the way I think they should, when they're being disrespectful or disobedient, and something just rises up in me that's trying to grasp onto my authority as dad. You better listen to me, and if things aren't going my way, I can get upset. And parenting is one of those things that's a day-by-day opportunity to die to myself, to lay aside that desire to grasp onto my authority, my control, my ability to dictate these little humans' lives how I'd like. Jesus doesn't grasp onto holding onto the glory of God for its own sake, but he empties himself. He did not consider that the equality that he had with God was something to be grasped onto. Compare this to the temptation in the garden of Eve. Satan said to her, "Did God really say that?" And then the core of the temptation was, "Eat this fruit and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. You will be like God," grasping. Isn't this the core of all of our sin, right? Is us trying to be like God. Us trying to be lords of our lives. Us trying to control things around us as if we were sovereign. Isn't this the core of everything that grasping onto, trying to be like God? And the Lord Jesus did not grasp onto being like God. He was obedient where Eve was disobedient. He undid the effects of the fall in us. He takes all of the devil's manipulations and lies and nails them to the cross. And he changes the question because now it's, do you want to be like God? Well, here's what God does. Do you want to be like God? Well, it looks like crucifixion. This is what God does. And if you want to be like him, walk in that path. This is the life of Jesus that's ours. One of a downward trajectory, downward mobility, that the form of God empties itself to take on the form of humanity. And even that, he goes lower, the form of a servant. He was born as a lowly, impoverished baby in a stinky barn in the left armpit of the Roman Empire, only to grow up to be a homeless, wandering preacher. The glory of God was emptied. Not that Jesus gave up his authority as God, his power, or his rights, but in order to show us that this is what God does. This is what God is like. He pours himself out. And even more downward he goes. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Nothing could be lower than this. A shameful death in between criminals, lifted up for all the world to see his shame. This was his obedience, even unto death on a cross. And it's then, only then, that God highly exalts him, bestowing upon him the name above every name. The name at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord. He comes into glory and exaltation by no other way than the way of the cross, than the way of humility, than the downward mobility that he calls us to. And someday we, all of us, church, we will be exalted with him. We will be glorified with him. 2 Timothy 2 says, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. So we will experience the glory, the joy, the eternal bliss that he has now. But for now, on this side of glory, our call is to walk the way of the cross. The Christian life is always one of downward mobility, a life of repentance, a life of sacrifice, a life of humility and lifting up others around us as more significant than ourselves. dying to ourselves day by day. That's why Paul says, have this mind among yourselves in the community. Have this mind that each one of us, as part of the body of Christ, to live a life in the way of the cross, to be crucified with Christ, to live out his humility among one another. And it's the life of Christ that empowers this. It's not just an example for us, but the life of Christ empowers this, because when I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, then he is the one living in through me and empowering me to humble myself, empowering me to die to myself. And because I can be rooted in my secure identity that I have in him, where I have no more need to please man. I have no more need to prove myself or jockey for status. I have no more need to grasp on to control when I am in Christ, because I have everything I need in him now and into eternity. I'm secure. You are secure. And you can lay your life down freely because Jesus has you. It's the life of Jesus given to us that empowers us to lay our lives down. It's the grace of Jesus poured out on the cross. It's the love of God poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that transforms us in his humility. It's the humility of Jesus that saves us. To paraphrase, St. Augustine said, the pride of man can only be cured by the humility of God. The pride of man can only be cured by the humility of God, who gave up his life for us on the cross. Jesus is not merely the example for us to follow. He is that, but he's more than that. He is the power within us that transforms us to lay down our lives, to live in community with one another, to have unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's his humility that saves us. It's his humility that's the cure for our pride, that frees us to let go of our grasping. And now the only thing that we need to strive for is more of his humility. The greatest ambition that a Christian has is to be crucified, to walk in the way of the cross, to seek that downward mobility in our call to love one another as Christ loves us by giving up his life for us. So this call for unity, this call to reflect and to manifest the life of Jesus Christ among us, means that our unity in Christ is going to manifest itself in humility and in love for one another, in care for one another, in lifting one another up as more significant than ourselves. That's how it manifests itself among us. This is what Paul refers to with working out our salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is how we work out that which God has worked in us. This is how we manifest the inner work of the Holy Spirit, the crucified life of Jesus, manifested, worked out in our lives, in our relationships. So, when we're in Christian community, living together, we always follow the trajectory of Jesus, the way of the cross, together, lifting one another up, counting one another as more significant than ourselves. And remember that when you lay down your life, you count on a brother or sister as more significant than yourself, they're doing the same for you. We lift one another up. That's the body of Christ. We submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We seek unity of heart and mind in the love of the gospel. We seek the joy together that comes from a life crucified with Christ. And I wonder, brothers and sisters, how you might practice that this week. How God might be stirring you and calling you to lay down your life for others this week. To lift up others as more significant than yourselves. I want to especially encourage you to think about how to do that in little ways. Because relationships are all about the little moments, right? Sometimes I think we're tempted to think about, oh, I'm going to lay my life down in a big, dramatic way. And then we want to think about how that's going to make us look so good. We can tell everyone, look at how good I am at laying down my life for others. Look at how good I am at counting others as more significant than myself. We can develop this martyr complex sometimes, too. Everyone, look on my suffering. How I'm suffering for others. All these things just feeding our pride, right? Undermining the work of the humility of God in us. So think about the little ways this week that you can lay down your life for those in your life. When you go to in your homes, in your small groups, at coffee hour, in service to the church, how can you lay down your life for those around you? Because this is what Jesus calls us to. And for us as a church, to walk the way of the cross together, to seek the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace together is more and more important, more and more essential. It's always been essential just because Jesus calls us to this, and it's not negotiable. But as the world around us becomes more and more hostile to the gospel, as the world around us becomes more and more intolerant to a biblical worldview, we as a church must stand firm. We as a church must be united in the gospel. We as a church must seek the humility of Jesus that alone will build up our unity. And it's this that will lead us into glory, but not yet. The life of Christ is for us. This is what is yours in Christ Jesus, Paul says. Have the mind, this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It's ours to claim. It's ours to live out. It's ours to embody in one another. The life of Jesus that's given to us through the Holy Spirit, this downward, humble, obedient, gracious life. This is the foundation for our community. This is the foundation for our life together in this church. And together, unified in the gospel, humbled under God's mighty right hand, we exalt and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, lifting him up as the name above every name, as Todd led us in at the beginning of the service, knowing that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We have the privilege of leading the way as the church. And may it be so for his glory. May it be so for our good. May it be so for our love among one another and our unity in the Spirit. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.